It is such a privilege to be up here and to teach your word, God's word. And I want to thank Charlie and the board for, you know, allowing me and asking me to teach. And I'm excited, always excited, to teach God's word. And this morning, I'm going to teach on love God with all your heart. And I'm going to concentrate on the heart. Pretty neat. So I guess we'll start in Mark chapter 12. Mark chapter 12, familiar verse to most of us, at least this weekend. And to get the whole context, I'm going to start in verse 28. And it says, "And one of the scribes came, and having heard them reason together and perceive that he had answered them well, he asked Jesus Christ, which is the first commandment of all? And Jesus answered him, the first of all commandments is, hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord, and thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul and with all thy mind and with all thy strength. This is the first commandment. And the second is like, namely this, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. There is none other commandment greater than these." Pretty wild, huh? These are the two great commandments. And the scribe continues talking to Jesus in verse 32, and he says unto him, "Well, Master, thou hast said the truth, for there is one God, and there is none other but he. And to love him with all thy heart and with all thy understanding." And that phrase, "with all thy understanding," isn't written in verse 30. You know, but he says, "and with all thy understanding, and with all thy soul, and with all thy strength, and to love his neighbor as himself. But more than all whole burnt offerings and sacrifice." And when Jesus saw that he answered discreetly, he said unto them, "him, thou art not far from the kingdom of God." He was telling them that he's close. You know, he didn't reprove them for leaving out the mind and putting on to understand. And I think that is all right. I think that we are, the Word of God tells us that we are to understand God. We are to know God. And so we're going to keep that in mind as we continue to read. But looking at the heart, I want to go to Romans chapter 10, verse 9 and 10. Another verse you guys probably read once. You know? Romans chapter 10, verse 9 says, "If thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shalt believe in thine heart." Believe, here we learn that believing comes from the heart. And that's how we see here that you can get born again. "Shall believe in thine heart that God has raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved." Sozo. Made whole. For with the what? The heart, man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. That is pretty neat. So we know that believing comes from the heart. And we want to believe God's word. We want to have all the promises that are in God's word. So we read God's word to learn about it so that we can believe it. Pretty neat. Go to Mark 11 this time. We were in 12. Go back up to 12. I mean 11. And I'm going to start in verse 22. And it says, "And Jesus answered and said unto them, have faith in God. And I think a real simple translation of this have faith in God is believe God. Believe God. That's what he's saying. Believe God. For verily I say unto you that whosoever shall say to this mountain, be thou removed and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart. So doubt starts in the heart also. So what we've learned is that believing is in the heart and doubt is in the heart. And doubt starts the chain of what? Doubt, worry, fear, unbelief. Exactly. So they're both in the heart. They're both there. So what do we do about that? The word heart used in the Bible is used over 830 times. It is used a lot. To do a study on the word heart is a momentous undertaking, but one worthy of doing that we will see here. Pretty neat. Let's go to Matthew chapter 5. Matthew chapter 5. On the Sermon on the Mount, and Jesus Christ is going to talk a little bit about the heart. And just for the fun of it, this is the first time heart is used in the Gospels or in the New Testament. In Mark chapter 5 and verse 8, it says, blessed are the pure in heart. That Matthew. Did I say Mark? Yeah. Well, go to Matthew. You know. Matthew chapter 5, verse 8. Blessed are the pure in heart. That word pure would be better translated as prune. Prune, like a gardener would prune his vegetables or his plants. What does a gardener do when he does that? He takes off the dead buds, gets rid of them, or a branch that goes off this way that is not producing fruit. What's he do with that one? Gets rid of it. Doesn't help. The plants start to sag and hit the ground. What does he do? He picks them up a little bit. And I got to tell you, I'm not a gardener. I'm not teaching this by experience, but my wife is. And what does a gardener do? They plant the garden, right? And they come back in the fall and they harvest it, right? No, they really go out there every day and look at it and see what they need to do because they want to produce good fruit. What do we want in our lives? Good fruit. You know, and by doing this, you know what else it does? It makes the plant healthy. It makes the plant healthy. By watching our heart, you know what we do? We produce good fruit, and we're healthy. It helps us to be healthy, and I'm going to show you that from the Word. It's pretty wonderful, you know. You know, it also says in this verse, the very last part of it, it says, for they shall see God. And what that means is they will understand God. No man has seen God at any time. God is spirit. But what they'll do is they'll understand God's characteristics, how loving, how good God is. They'll start to see the promises of God. That's how you love God with all your heart. By knowing who God is and knowing how God, it's the goodness of God that leadeth a man to repentance. It's how good God is. And when you prune your heart, you will see that. It is just wonderful. Look at Matthew. We're in Matthew chapter 12. I'm going to tell you something. Jesus Christ knew about the heart. When Jesus Christ shared about the heart, he knew about it. and he knew what he was talking about. And I think he got a lot of what he knew about the heart from Proverbs, because the word heart is used in Proverbs over 85 times in 31 verses. You know, 81 times. We're going to look at a few, but I want to look at this verse 4. In verse 30, we're in Matthew chapter 12, verse 34. And it says, O generation of vipers, how can ye, being evil, speak good things? For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. See, they wanted to speak things, and they spoke evil things. Not just a few things. It says an abundance of evil things. And it comes from where? The heart. You know? In verse 35 says, a good man out of the good treasure of the heart bringeth forth what? Good things. Good things. And an evil man out of the evil treasure bringeth forth evil things. We want to prune our hearts. We want to watch and guard our hearts so that we bring forth good things. We bring forth good things. Because out of the abundance of the heart is who we are. And I'm going to show you that too. Go to Proverbs chapter 17. In the middle of the Bible, you can find Proverbs. Like I said, over 85 times it's used in Proverbs. But we're going to look at just a few because other people want to teach. Like I could spend a lot of time on the word heart. But in 17 verse 22, I think this is someone's favorite verse. Probably everybody's, but a lot of people. It says, a merry heart doth good like a medicine, but a broken spirit drieth the bones. A merry heart doth good like a medicine. It's healthy for you, a merry heart. A merry heart makes you healthy. Watching and guarding your heart makes you healthier in physical, mentally, and spiritually. All of it. God sent his word and healed them. Having our heart for God and watching our heart and pruning it will actually make us healthier physically, spiritually, and in our minds, right? Pretty wonderful. So we're going to look at a couple of those things. We're going to look at Proverbs for a little while. We're going to start in chapter 2. We're going to start at the beginning. This is the first usage in Proverbs. Chapter 2, we're going to read verses 1 and 2, and it says, my son, if thou wilt receive my words, this is God's word. You're going to receive God's word and hide my commandments. Well, that's God's word also, you know. So in one verse it says, if you will receive my word and you will hide my commandments, my word with thee, so that thou incline thy ear unto wisdom and apply thy heart to what? Understanding. You know, so God's word is saying we got to apply our hearts to understanding. Pretty wonderful. Let's go to chapter 3, and we're going to read verses 1 through 7. And what we're going to see here is that we let our hearts, we guard our hearts. And it says, my son, forget not my law. That's another word for word. Right? But let thine heart keep my commandments which were written in God's word. So you do the letting. You let thine heart keep those commandments. And if you do that, it says, for length of days and long life. Anyone here like any of those things? I do. Okay? Length of days means that you get a lot out of a day. You know what I mean? You get a lot. You got a to-do list, you know, you're going to do today. I've had this happen. Okay, I'm going to get all this done. And I go, okay, I'm going to have a busy day. And then I get a phone call. And my day is cut in half. I go, ooh, how am I going to get everything I need to get done today? Well, do the first thing, do the second thing. All of a sudden, it's 11 o'clock and you're done for everything you needed to do for the day. You get a lot done. Pretty neat, huh? And you know what long life is. Everyone knows what that is. And peace shall they add to thee by guarding your heart. Pretty neat, huh? Says, let not mercy and truth forsake thee. Bind them about thy neck, like this. Write them upon the tables of thy what? Heart. You know? So shalt thou find favor and good understanding in the sight of God and man. Trust in the Lord with all thine what? Heart. And lean not unto thy own understanding. Pretty wonderful. We don't go by what we think, you know. We don't even go by what our heart thinks. We watch our heart. We guard our heart. We prude. Part of the things that a good believer does is he disregards things. You know, he goes, this isn't lining up with God's word, and gets rid of it. And he does this all the time. This is a daily thing, taking care of your heart. It's just wonderful. Let's look at a couple more. Let's go to Proverbs 4:4. It says, He taught me also, and he said unto me, let thine heart retain my words and keep my commandments and what?
Live.
You know, by watching and guarding our hearts, we get up and we live. And that's a great promise in God's word. But we got to do the letting. We got to do the letting. Let's go to, we're in chapter 4, let's go to verse 20. For they are life unto those that find them, and health to all their flesh. Health. Does anyone need health? Okay, I do, you know, and so, but it says, keep thy heart, verse 23. Keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. Once again, we keep our hearts. We keep it. We put it together so that we can live. You know, they are the issues of life. Pretty wonderful, I think. Let's go to chapter 14. And I'm going to tell you something. The hardest part of putting this teaching together was weeding out some of them, because it's 85 times in Proverbs. And I only say that because I want you to see how important it is to guard and keep your hearts and to watch what goes into them so we can have the good treasure of our hearts. And there's a verse in God's word says, all sufficiency in all things. Well, you do that by guarding your heart, pruning your heart. And then you can love God with all your heart. So here I am in 14, verse 30. A sound heart is life of the flesh. Wow. But envy, the rottenness of the bones. I'm going to teach you something. When you're reading in Proverbs or reading in God's word in general, when it talks about marrow, that's health. When it talks about moist bones, moistness, that's health. Rotten bones, that's not good health. Dried up bones, bad health. You know what I mean? And that's the contrast you can read in there. Moist, good. Rotten, dried bones, bad. It's almost that simple as you read through here. Let's go to 23. Proverbs 23. In verse 7. All right. For as he thinketh in his what? So is he. Man, you know? As you think in your heart, so who are you and who do you want to be? One of the things that I see when I read the Gospels about our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, that he always worked with people's vocabulary, what they said. You know, a man comes along and says, oh, your daughter's dead. And he goes, trust God, only believe. He just kept those thoughts to the foremost, the good treasures, the promises of God's word, the promises that are in God's word. He elevated them, and he tried to change people's conversations, the words they used, to positive words that you get from God's word, so that we can be healthy, live long lives. You know what? This is how I feel. I feel there's a lot of work that needs to be done here in this world. There's a lot of people that need to be saved. There's a lot of people that need God's blessings. There's a lot of people that need it. And for me to do it personally, I've got to be in good health. I've got to be able to get there. I've got to be able to share God's word. And that's true with all of us. We don't want to be in a position where we're thinking, well, we're done. You know, we got to be thinking we're on the move. No matter how old you are or how old I am, we got things to do for God. You know, so we want to be healthy, and we want to be healthy physically, spiritually, and mentally. And we get that from the Word of God. Let's go to Proverbs 28. And to me, I just love this verse because it's blunt. You know, it's kind of blunt. Verse 28. Where is it? Okay, verse 26. I didn't write it on my notes, the reference, but I got it. I found it. It says, he that trusteth in his own heart is a what? Anyone here going to let their heart lead them? Anyone here going to trust in their own heart? Well, you don't want to be a fool, you know. You don't do that, you know. A word comes by into your mind. Oh, well, I'm going to follow that thing. That's not what we're to do. We're to line up our thinking with the Word of God. And there's one verse of Scripture that says it all, and that's in Hebrews chapter 4. It just says it all. You know, it's one of those verses, after you read it, you don't have to really explain it. You don't have to do a 6-page report on what it means, because it says it. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12. And this is what I believe. And I believe it says it all. For the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing of sunder of soul and spirit and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intent of the heart. You want to know if your heart is right with God and God's word? The critic of that is God's word. We got to align our thinking in our hearts with God's word. And when we do that, then we are healthier. And I mean this, healthier in the physical, in the spiritual, in the mental. We're healthy all around. we're better off. Scientists spend millions of dollars, this is going to sound silly, stressing out mice to see how stress works with the mice. And you know what they found out? Mice don't like to be stressed. You know? If they read Proverbs, and then they, of course, they say, well, that's true of man, and that's why all the problems we have is because of all the stress. You know, we're stressed. We're stressing our heart. We're putting our heart in bad position with all this stress. Well, God's word says, don't do that. Think positively according to the word. Believe God's promises. Man, that millions of dollars stressing out mice, and all they had to do was read Proverbs, 31 verses. I think God's word is simple to understand when you read it. You said last night, and it's so true, if you put away all your other reading material and stuff and read God's word, you won't know yourself. I did that one time just to see. And when I took all my other reading material, I took all the stuff I was studying too. And I just bought me a Bible. I bought this Bible. And it's a clean Bible. In other words, no notes in it. I wanted a clean Bible without any notes in it. That's what I wanted. I wanted to know what God's word said. So I just read God's word for 3 months. And I saw the benefit to my life by not doing it for 3 months, that I have never gone back in and got that other reading material. And they were, some of them, good teachers and stuff, but it's what they worked. It's what they came up with. I want to come up with God. So I did that for a long time. And I still recommend reading God's word. A word study will get you nice words. They're good. But to really understand those words, read the context. And sometimes you have to read the entire book where that scripture is in to get the full context of things. And by doing that, you are putting God's word on your mind, and you're discarding some things and holding on to other things. And that will make you healthier. I know we got these bodies that are getting older and stuff, but doing this will make you healthier. Just like a plant, when you get rid of stuff that doesn't help the plant gets healthier. And when we get that, then we can do things for God. We can move for God. And that's really all I want to do. Until the trumpet blows, or, you know, I didn't believe enough to stay around. But until that time, I just want to continue to move God's word and help God's word and see God's word living in other people's lives.